Thank you. You're welcome to be seated. I don't want to preach long tonight. I just want to share something that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart for us for tonight. If I can have the main lights, that'll be great. And then we're going to go into a time of ministry tonight. I believe that most of you came tonight because you are here to do business with God. Come on, we're here to break down some altars in our lives tonight. We're here to establish the word of the Lord in our lives tonight. Who of you were with us this morning or watched online, just a raise of hands. Most of you, if you missed this morning, I want to encourage you, go and listen to the word this morning. Because I believe that God wants to continue tonight with what He stopped, where we stopped this morning. Is everybody still okay? Welcome to everybody online, Facebook, YouTube. So good to have you with us, Church Online. Are you ready tonight? I just sense that God's going to do something awesome in our time together tonight. I just believe the Lord wants to minister to every individual tonight. Come on, can you put your faith out with me tonight that before you leave this place tonight, that you will have in some way met with God, that He would have ministered to you in a very personal way. Come on, whether it's Him by Himself, whether it's through somebody else, but we're just going to trust the Lord that in this night He will do whatever He wants to do. I see so many people that the Lord have laid on my heart in prayer this week. I see you in church, some of you for the first time in a long while, and I just believe that God's going to do something powerful tonight. Come on, put your faith out with me. Doesn't matter how good I preach tonight, it's not going to change your life. It's what you receive, how you receive the word of the Lord. It's the way that the Holy Spirit ministers on that word that will change your life. And in this night, I want you to put your faith out with me for what God wants to do. We want to speak about altars tonight. Altars, family altars. For those of you that joined us this morning, you'll have a better idea of where I'm going tonight. For those of you that didn't, let me just in 1 minute share the following. God is a God of altars. Everything that God does, He does on an altar. There's an altar in heaven, do you know that? Just going to try this side. There's an altar in heaven. There's altars on this earth. Every man and woman that has ever encountered God in a specific, unique, powerful way, wherever there's been an encounter, wherever there's been a covenant made, wherever there's been a divine meeting between God and man, there's been an altar that's been established. And God wants us to be people that build altars in our lives. But He also wants us to be vigilant in this time and by force destroy every single altar that should not be erected in our lives. Altars are places where the supernatural and the natural meet. It's points of contact. It's things that happen in this realm that influences that realm, or things that happens in that realm that influences this realm. It's a place where God and man meet, and wherever they meet, something powerful happens, something is established. And God wants to establish us as families, as individuals in this time. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you to flourish in every single area of your life? God wants you to live in victory. I think one of the things that saddens me is I look at my own life at times and the lives of people around me is how many believers do not live in victory. Not you, of course. I know that you have absolute victory in your life, but I'm sure there's people that you know, and maybe you feel like that at times, like, God, I've prayed into some things, I've believed for some things, I've fasted, I have trusted, but there's areas of my life where I'm not living in victory. It's about 17 of you. And many a times it's because in those areas of our lives, there's been altars that's been erected. Things that has been established in the spiritual realm that keeps people from having a breakthrough in their life. And maybe you're like, this oak is talking absolute Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, whatever to me tonight. I've got absolutely no idea what he's talking about. But I trust that in the next couple of minutes as we journey together, that you will see, yes, I can see that altar in my life. I can see that ungodly thing that's been raised in my life. I can see that lie in the enemy that I've lived my life according to. And that in this night that you will know that you know that you know that God has given you the power to break down everything that has raised itself up against God's plan for your life. So I want to just, for the sake of time, not jump into the scripture, but just make reference to a scripture. Joshua, no, my apologies. Judges chapter number 6. Judges chapter number 6. Such a well-known story. Gideon. If you've been in church for longer than a month or two, you would have heard the story of Gideon somewhere in your life. It's a story about Gideon that takes a small group of men, 300 men, ordinary men, and defeats a mighty army. But that story, where it starts, the birthplace of Gideon, where his journey started with God, is crucially important for us to understand so that we know where God wants to go with our lives. So the story in Judges chapter number 6 starts like this. Let me just read the first verse and then I'll make reference to one or two scriptures. So it says, Judges chapter number 6 verse 1, "And the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight." It's easy for us to read that kind of a scripture and then browse over it. But we've got to understand that the Israelites found themselves in bondage, in captivity, oppressed by the enemy because they did evil in the Lord's sight. And let's ask ourselves, some of you are like, yo, this is starting quite heavy. We've got to ask ourselves, what evil did they do in the Lord's sight? God gave them the promised land. We spoke about it this morning. They crossed over into this promised land. And one of the things that God said to the Israelites is, I want you to drive out every nation out of this promised land. It's your land. It's yours to possess. I want you to defeat the Midianites, Canaanites, Jebusites, Perizzites, all the Zites. I want you to defeat all of them. Kill them. Chase them out of this land. It's yours to possess. And the problem is that many of the Israelite tribes did not do what God commanded them to do. They made treaties with some of these nations. Some of these nations, they just allowed to stay with them. And that's where the problem starts in our lives. It's when there's things that we accommodate that God has commanded us to chase out of our lives. And because they accommodated some of these things, if we can just have the keyboard a bit softer on stage, thanks so much. It's because they, if the louder it goes, the harder I'm gonna scream. It's because they accommodated these foreign tribes in their midst that they ultimately leaned into the evil that these tribes stood for. And we see as we look back in time how they not just leaned into cultural things and adopted some of the ways of these foreign tribes, they adopted some of their gods as well. That's where the problem started. That's why every time where God came to Israel, he said to them, "This is what grieves me," free translation, "this is what I have against you, is that the very gods that I've asked you to conquer, break down, destroy, you have turned to them. You have allowed them to become idols in your own heart." That's what we're speaking about tonight, friends. It's not about some mystical altar that I've got to break down. Pastor Yera, give me a key or a weapon or something. Let me do it and go home. No, we've got to understand that we allow certain things in our own hearts. That's the altar more than anything else. It's the altar of your heart. It's what the Bible says. We don't build altars with stones anymore. This is your altar. This is your altar. It's your own heart. And it's on the condition of a man's heart that God builds his kingdom. In other words, your family, sir, madam, God builds it on the condition of your heart. And so many times we allow foreign gods, idols, evil into our own hearts. And I'm not here to try and offend you. I'm not here to shame you. I'm not here to call you out. But we cannot find our way around some of these things and expect to live in victory. You know what grieved me as I read it? When I read the scripture this week, I cried before the Lord. I said, "Lord, that is what I see in so many people's lives." You know what the Midianites did? They were the enemy that oppressed the Israelites in this specific time, in the time of Gideon. It's whenever it was harvest time, the Midianites will come down. The Bible says their camels were countless. As much as the sand of the sea, they would come down in vast numbers and they will take everything from the land. They will steal every crop. They will impoverish the Israelites. They didn't kill them, they just took
everything from them. And year after year, season after season, the Israelites could never prosper in any area of their lives. That's what ultimately made them cry out to God and say, God, please help us. And Gideon was the sixth judge that God sent. He wasn't the first. God would send a deliverer. Then Israel would say, oh, thank you, God, for saving us. God delivers them. And they fall back into evil patterns. Time and time and time again. I think to myself, for the last 16, 17 years, I've had the privilege to share from this pulpit the truth of God's word. And how many times have I shared the same message over and over with the same group of people? Why? Because in our nature, we have a tendency of falling back into evil, falling back into sinful ways. Can I tell you why? It's because we have never broken down the altars in our hearts. We commit to put another sacrifice on that altar, but that altar has never been raised to facilitate a sacrifice to God. And in this evening, friends, we've got to do business with God. We can't just hug one another, give a high five, say, hey, here is good for us, and then we go home. Because we will always come back to those places where the enemy robs us, steals us. How can it be that people of God that carry within us the living God cannot live in victory in areas of our lives? It cannot be. It can only be because we facilitate within ourselves a process where we allow the enemy to steal from us the crops, the harvest, the victory, the promise, the breakthrough. I said it this morning, there's families here and online. For years and years and years, you see patterns repeating itself in your life. Sickness that doesn't go away. Children that never gets better. Poverty that just doesn't seem to change. You can do anything. You can even play the lotto. It doesn't help. Nothing helps. It's like you're stuck in poverty. Some people, you're stuck in the cycle of delay. It's like it doesn't matter how much you push, how hard you try. It's like you are always two steps behind. Everybody always gets the promotion before you. Somebody always sees the breakthrough before you. You cannot break through. You cannot attain that what you are reaching for. It's like there's something working against you. It's patterns. It's altars that's been established in our lives. And sometimes we establish them. Sometimes they've been established in generations before us. But I'm here to tell you tonight that that altar can stop with you. You can be the one that breaks down everything that has raised itself up against God's plan for your life. You don't have to settle for what the enemy has offered you to live by. Some of you have never really lived in true freedom. You always feel trapped. If you're not addicted to pills, you're addicted to pornography, you're addicted to smoking, you're addicted to drinking. It's like something always just keeps you captive in some way or another. So many people are held captive by their thoughts. You can't remember the last day where you just had a clear mind. There's people sitting here, I believe you've lost your peace. It's what the Lord said to me this afternoon as I was praying. Eric, these people, they have lost their peace. They don't know what it is to live in peace anymore. You constantly feel like you're anxious, fearful, worried. Something bad's going to happen. It's like when something good happens, you're almost afraid because that means that something bad's now going to happen. God doesn't want you to live like that. Why should you be oppressed by that kind of evil thinking? No, no, no. And I'm the first guy to tell you that the kingdom, if it's not in His strength, if it's not by His divine decree, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to make things work. But the same Bible also teaches that those that take the kingdom take it by force, meaning you've got to work with God. You can't just say, oh, yara, help me, please. There's got to be times in your life where you've got to make a stand and say, no, God, I'm done with this thing in my life. I call on the God of heaven to intervene. We see that in the life of Gideon. Sorry, I'm still stuck in this morning sermon. God came to Gideon mighty man of valor. He said, God, me? Who am I? I'm the youngest in my family. And my family is the least in our clan. I'm a nothing, God. I'm a nothing. I'm afraid. I'm treading wheat in a wine press. I'm afraid. God says, I see something different in you. He says, I see something different in you, Gideon. And I love what verse 24 says. You all know the story. God appears to him. Gideon gives the Lord a sacrifice. He offers the Lord a sacrifice. That sacrifice is burned up. And then it says, verse 24, and Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the God, my peace. I said to you this morning, wherever we see the names of God being revealed, in every one of those circumstances, there's been an altar that's been erased. Every moment of encounter is an altar that you will forever refer back on and say, that is the day where my life changed. That's the day where God restored my marriage. That's the day that God delivered me from addiction. That's the day where God brought me into a wide open space. Altars. Altars. The altar remains in the land to this day. That night the Lord said to Gideon, listen to this, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. So much revelation in that. Pull down your father's altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on that altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole that you have cut down. God says, I want you to see the context here. Gideon's father built an altar to Baal. Next to that altar stood an Asherah pole. Asherah pole was a type of false god, a wooden image, half naked lady, almost a pornographic type image of this goddess that they worshipped in that day. God says, I want you to break that altar. You cut down that image. Then you build an altar on this hilltop, in this sanctuary, this holy place. You build an altar. Then you put that animal on that altar. And this is what I love about God. He says, you take that very wooden image that you've cut down and you use it as the fuel to burn the sacrifice to me. There's so much revelation in that. So many of us have knowingly, unknowingly, and once again, please hear my heart. I'm not here to shame you. I'm not here to try and shed a light on your weakness and sinfulness. But if the word of the Lord does not show me my weakness and my sinfulness, then who else will? And here's the question. If the word of the Lord is revealed to me and I see, oh my goodness, I have erected altars in my life, or I have lived with certain altars in my life, then what am I to do about it? That's the question. Because the word of the Lord always requires a response from you and me. God just sit in church and be like, yo, good sermon, Pastor Eric, and then go home and that's it. Nothing will change in your life. That's why so many believers have been seated in churches for 20, 30, 40 years and they still struggle with the stuff they struggled with when they started. Why? Because they've said amen at the right places, but they've never applied the truth of God's word in their own lives. And let me tell you, I said it this morning, we don't understand the power of an altar. Everything is established on an altar. Everything is established on an altar. A place of encounter, a place of meeting, a place of covenant, a place of sacrifice. As I look back on my life, every divine shift, every key moment in my walk with God, there was an altar that was erected there. There's something that I can look back on forever and say, that day, something changed in my life. I built something there. I erected an altar. I put a sacrifice into something. Those are the moments that change your life. And if we can in this night say, God, I see what the enemy has done. I see what he has erected in my life. And I choose to break it down in this night. It will stop in this night. I guarantee you. That's the power that you carry. That's the power that you carry. And you know what I love about the scripture is the very things that the enemy has tried to use against us as believers, those will be the things that we put on that altar as fuel to sacrifice to God. If I look back on my own life and I see what I've been through as a person and how the enemy has lied to me and brought destruction and brokenness in my life, especially my BC days, I can tell you that I have seen God take the very things that the enemy tried to shame me, and He's used that as fuel to fire ministry towards those that's still in brokenness. I don't care what you sit with here tonight. You can be struggling with any form of weakness, sin, shortcoming. Doesn't matter what your problem is. God can use that as an Asherah pole, piece of wood, a fuel to put on the altar of your life and fuel sacrifices to God. A place where other people can also have an encounter. Your life can become that altar. Do you know that your life can be such an altar that other people can meet God at your place of connection, your place of meeting, your place of transfer? It's the power of our lives. So the Bible says Gideon takes 10 men from his family and he goes at night. The Bible says he was too afraid to do it by day. True story. The beautiful thing is God didn't mind. And he takes 10 men and he goes by night and he breaks down that altar and he cuts down that Asherah pole and he builds an altar to the Lord. And listen to this scripture. Verse 32, it says, from then on, Gideon was called Jerub-Baal, which means let Baal defend himself, because he was the one that broke down Baal's altar. The town came to Gideon's dad and said, hey, aren't you going to do something? Your boy broke down the altar. He says, well, if Baal is alive, if he's well and able, let him defend himself. Oh, friends, if we can be a group of people that in our families, our communities, our own lives, say, God, I am breaking down whatever the enemy has tried to bring against me and my family. I'm telling you now, we will have revival. That's where it starts. It starts with a man or a woman that says, I will be obedient to everything that God commands me to do. And He stirs obedience in the next person and the next person. Obedience looks like revival. I'm telling you now, if we do not respond, we will never see the move of God in our families. We'll never see the move of God in our nation. There's a response required. So I want to share with you one or two things. And I said I don't want to be long and I'm long already. I want to share with you a couple of things that the Lord has highlighted to me. Things that I believe has repeated itself in people's lives. Then I'm going to share one or two keys with you and then we're going to pray. Is that all right? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, tonight is my night. Look at your other neighbor, say, neighbor, tonight is your night. Yes, Lord. So here's some of the things that the Lord showed me this week as I was praying, saying, Lord, help me to see. Maybe let me ask this question. How do I recognize an ungodly altar in my life? How do I recognize an ungodly altar in my life? That's the first question. Second question we'll get to in a moment is, how do I break down that altar in my life? So the first question, how do I recognize an ungodly altar in my life? Simple. Patterns. Patterns. I spoke this morning about erecting godly altars, patterns in your family that your children will forever look back on and say, what do those stones mean? Patterns that you create that establishes an altar in your family. The same thing with ungodly altars. We look for patterns. So here's some of the patterns that we see in people's lives. Strange sicknesses. Sicknesses that repeats itself. And not just the type of sickness, but you'll see that some sicknesses come every single year at the same time. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to somebody. It's like every time, every month of the year, that thing happens. Not just in sickness. Sometimes financial challenges come repeated every single year in a specific month. What is that? It's a pattern. It's an ungodly altar. Something happened, whether you allowed something or somebody before you allowed something, that created an altar in the spirit that now becomes a place of contact every single season of your life. Some of the altars that we see in our lives are people that constantly lose something. You constantly lose. I'm not talking about a card game. I'm talking about, it's like you constantly lose money. If the washing machine doesn't break, then your car breaks. If the car doesn't break, then this breaks. Then there's constantly something broken, something that you're losing. Then you lose money. Then you lose your job. Then you lose this. Then you lose a relationship. It's like you're constantly losing things in your life. What is that? It's a pattern. It's an ungodly altar that's been erected. And can I tell you that many of the patterns that we see in our lives are because of ancestral worship, sacrifices in our lives. Meaning people that have gone before you, your fathers, your grandfathers. The Bible is clear on it that there's certain sins, certain curses that repeats itself into the third and the fourth generation. Many of the battles you're fighting is battles that your dad fought, is battles that his dad fought. That's why you'll see in many families, the grandpa is an alcoholic, the dad is an alcoholic, the son is an alcoholic. Everybody has an alcohol problem. You'll see that pattern, one of the patterns that we see is a pattern of divorce. It's like everybody in the family is divorced. It's almost strange for somebody to not be divorced. Another pattern that we see is nobody gets married. And you can see it in some families. We've dealt with it many a times. That many people, it's like in this whole family, everybody sleeps together and everybody has children with somebody, but nobody's married. What's that? It's an ungodly pattern. It's an altar that's been established in your family. And you have the choice tonight to say, no, it's not going to repeat itself in my children's life. Cornelia and myself, many years ago when we started serving the Lord, we said, God, there's some things that we see in our lives. We're not going to see it in our children's lives. I'm telling you, we fought for certain things. We built altars so that our kids never have to be conquered by anything that we needed to battle in our lives. Poverty. Poverty. I've sat with many people over the last couple of years. It's like they never get out of poverty. They never get a breakthrough. They never get a promotion. Man, everybody can sell Tupperware, and when they start with Tupperware, it fails. Then everybody gets rich selling whatever, golden products, Amway, something. Makes millions. He starts, he loses everything. Then it's this scheme, then it's that scheme. Doesn't matter what he does. It's like he can't break free from poverty. It's like there's this thing resting on you, and many a times we think it's a curse. Let me tell you, there's something more powerful than a curse. That's the altar on which those curses were established. I wish I had time to go into this tonight. We've got to understand that the curse is not your problem. Oh, am I speaking to believers here? What do we believe? What do we believe? A curse is not your problem. Can I just share something around curses quickly? Many people think for you to break the power of a curse, you need to break the power of a curse. No, you need to, how do I explain this? Jesus died on the cross and he took every curse upon himself, am I right? The curse was broken, but he needed to raise from the dead. It's not just good enough to break the curse, you've got to speak the blessing. That's why many people are like, they're just breaking curses. It's like they're fighting the enemy their whole lives. Demon slayers. It's like, I break this curse, I break that curse, I break this curse. It's not about breaking curses. It's about living in blessing. Life and death is in your mouth. Some of you need to speak the word of the Lord, the blessings of God over yourself, over your children. I said it this morning, when last have you laid your hands on your kids and blessed them as a father and a mother? When last have you gone to your spouse while they are awake or asleep? It doesn't matter. Some of your spouses need to be asleep before you could do something like that. And just lay your hand. I'm serious. I know some people are like, yeah, Pastor Eric, you can't bless my husband. You don't know that man. Then I say, well, bless him while he sleeps. Lay your hand on that man and say, you man of God. Jou geestelike reus. Man of God, I bless you. Speak the life-giving power of Christ over you. I call you to the obedience of God's word. Come on, some of you need to speak blessing. Blessing. If you break the curse, there's still a void. You've got to fill that. Listen to what I'm saying to you tonight. But it's the altars on which curses are established. That's what carries power. Every curse that's spoken over a person that carries power comes from a person that's done that from an altar. So the question is, what altar have you got in your life? Have you got an altar in your life that it doesn't matter who comes against you, what they say, what negative words they speak on that altar? Nothing else gets established except the blessings, the promises, and the favor of God over your life. Barrenness. There's people that's barren. I'm not just talking about barren, can't have kids. There's people that you don't see fruit in your life. It's like whatever you want to do, nothing happens. You try and start a business, it just fails. You have a great idea. No, you don't. You don't have an idea. That's the problem. You're barren. There's nothing there. It feels like you're lifeless in areas of your life. Ask yourself, why do you walk around with such barrenness if God's word over your life should be one of fruitfulness? Come on. Bible says, John 15, stay in the vine and you'll bear much fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, why? And you know what we do as believers? We often introspect ourselves and then we start beating ourselves because we're not bearing fruit. Maybe the problem is not with you, but maybe the problem can stop with you. That's the point. Constant failure, delay, addiction. There's a stronghold in many families that looks like addiction. The default is always something else. It's never God. Always lean into pills, lean into a whiskey, lean into something that calms me. It helps me. It satisfies me. Please, I'm not trying to be weird here. I'm being honest and straight. If you get home after a long day and you're looking for the whiskey to just calm yourself, there's a problem. There's a problem. We can't sugarcoat these things from this altar and say, no, you know, ach pastor, you know, Jesus has ook wijn veranderd, water in die wijn veranderd. Drink ons allemaal iets. No, friends, we've got to understand that if I lean into forms, substances to satisfy an inner need, I've got a problem. God wants to fill that need. That's why God hates ancestral worship. That's why He hates it when people go to Sangomas and Yangas. Why? Because they look to people, to mediums, for guidance, for healing, for protection. Who's supposed to give you healing? Who's supposed to give you protection? Who's supposed to give you guidance? Can't look to a man. Can't have a string around my waist or a little thing in my pocket to help me, protect me. No, it's evil. God hates it. Bible says it's an abomination to God. He hates it. He wants you to look to Him. And please, I'm not trying to offend anybody. And you can't say, no, it's my culture. It's got nothing to do with it. I can't look to mediums, people, spirits to do the work that God wants to do in my life. Finish it, Lord. And there's parents, and if you know somebody, you've got to meet with them this week. There's maybe you're in this place, you've taken your children to Sangomas, traditional healers, and you've leaned into mutis to supply something that God wants to supply. And you as a parent need to break that over your child in this night. Because you have opened a legal right, not just in your home, but in their life as well. Friends, we've done deliverances many a times, enough in this church to know that there's great power that we release, evil power that we release over people because we expose them to things that God does not want them to be exposed to. You still love me? Am I still speaking to the right church here? As I was preparing this week, I just felt the Lord said, Eric, we can't sugarcoat these things. People are falling back into destruction, into places where they, like the Midianites, are being robbed. season after season, year after year, because they have not broken down ungodly altars. And I'm asking you in this night, if the word of the Lord speaks to you, make a stand. Make a stand. Where does it start? It starts with repentance. Father, forgive me. We have leaned into whatever medium, look to whatever person, whatever muti, whatever spell, whatever. You can't go to a crystal ball for guidance. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Can't go to some palm reader to try and guide you in the future. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Kan nie teeblaartjies gaan lees and think that God's going to guide you. Nee, it's the Holy Spirit's job. He says, I'm your leader. I'm your guide. I'm the one that will show you where to go. That's why God has given us the gift of prophecy. We sit with prophets in our midst, people that hear the voice of God. Every single one of you can hear the voice of God. We don't have to look to some medium, whatever that might be, to do the work that God wants. Can I just throw something out there while we're on this? Please, if you are one of those people that reads the huisgenoot, and you look to your star signs to guide you, please stop doing that. Please stop doing that. Please stop doing that. You've got no idea what kind of an altar you're erecting in your life. And one day you teach your children, no, you're a Pisces or you're a Virgo or you're a Gemini. I don't even know what they are. No, this is going to happen. Let's just quickly read what they say. Oh, this is going to be a great week for you. And then next week, it's going to be a bad week. What do we build our lives on? I'm serious. I'm not joking now. What are we building our lives on here? And I'm not saying that God cannot use anything to speak to us. But you cannot look to whatever some writer has said about your star sign and let that be the thing that guides your life. Can't play around with Ouija boards and whatever games and try and have some spirit medium guide me and lead me. Parents, can I just say something while we're on it? Please forgive me, but let me just say it as it is, because we are seeing the evil this is doing in the kids' lives of children. Watch the games that your kids are playing. Watch what they are watching on Netflix and whatever. Watch it. Kids are, now I'm saying kids, youth. Where's Pastor Given? Set the example. Set the example for the ones that journey with you in how to live a life that is upright before God. Doesn't mean because everybody plays it, you should play it. Doesn't mean because everybody watches it, you should watch it. There's some stuff that my kids will never watch. I don't even watch it because it's evil in its core. You can say, oh, Pastor, it's just an animation. It's all ages. No, doesn't mean because it's all ages, it should be for your age. I'm serious. Some things are evil. Twisted lies that people sell to other people through games and movies and series that we watch, and we indoctrinate ourselves and our children with lies. This is turning out in like a deliverance session on a new members course here. This is the stuff that we work through with our new members. By the way, this coming Saturday, can't wait to be with all our new members. Vitality round number 2. Friends, I'm serious. We've got to understand that we do certain things, and you might say, Eric, no, you're crazy, man. You know, it's nothing wrong with watching star signs. It's nothing wrong with, you know, going there or doing this. Listen, if you have seen for yourself the legal right this establishes in people, you will change your mind, I guarantee you. Yes, it's pastors and counselors that can tell you how much demonic influences we had to deal with. Strongholds that we needed to break in people's lives because they have opened themselves up unknowingly to evil in their lives. And we can say, some of these altars, it's ancestors, and some of these things has been established in generations before me. Some of these altars we erect in our lives. Can I use an example? In some families, your TV, as innocent as what it is, has become an ungodly altar. An ungodly altar. And I'm not saying don't have a TV. But if you spend every moment of your time as a family looking at that TV, you've got a problem. Because you are missing out on powerful, life-changing moments with your children, with your spouse. Some of the things that we expose ourselves to has no eternal value. If you lie on your bed one day at the end of your life looking back, there's not one person that I've ever had the privilege to meet that said, "Yo, Pastor, before I go, I just want to say I wish I watched that series." Eh? There's no one that's ever said that. "God, please spare me. I just want to watch that last movie." Nobody does that. Pastor Stephen and myself, we've stood next to people's beds and seen them go into glory many a times. Been there, praying for people and families. Nobody says, "Oh God, just one more Netflix movie, please." They long for the moments that they have missed with their family. Moments that they have missed in God's glory. That's why David said, "One day in this place is better than 1,000 elsewhere." In the modern translation, it will sound something like this: "One moment in God's presence is better than 1,000 movies." And what is worse is how we have allowed some of these things to lie to us. We watch certain movies, series, documentaries, and it indoctrinates us that we actually believe that what is evil is good. And that what it's a lie starts looking like truth. It's got to stop with us. It's got to stop with us. It's got to stop with us. This has become an altar in people's lives. Love me, please. Don't scratch my car. I beg you. This has become an altar in many people's lives. And I use this quite a lot. I work with people. This is a tool. I communicate with people. I'm on social media. This is an incredibly powerful tool in the day and age that we're living in. I'm not saying chuck your phone away. But I am saying if you're spending half of your day on a Facebook stream, on an Instagram or a TikTok stream, you're wasting precious time. You're losing out on moments that has the power to shape your life. And you're wasting it on something that has no eternal value. No eternal value. And you will teach your children to do the same. Love me, please. But it's the truth. And it's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. Will I sacrifice any time with anybody, with anything, to have moments with the Master? Will I, in moments where I have 10 options of who to spend time with, choose the ones that's most important to me? That's the question. And whatever has raised itself above God in your life, even if it looks like a phone, that's an altar. Some people, the way they spend their time with friends, weekend parties, golf days on Saturday. Some of you are like, yo, Eric, watch it. Don't say anything about golf now. It's the truth. It's the God's honest truth. Please enjoy a round of golf. Please have a cell phone. But if that's what is currently consuming your focus, your dedication in life, I think you're missing the point. And I want to say it straight. I think you're missing the point. If you are sacrificing time with your family to go and play golf every Saturday with the buds, I think you're missing the point. Either have your family play golf with you, or sacrifice one or two games and go spend it with your family. I mean it. And the beautiful thing about God is that He gives us grace in these moments to make a transition. There's been many times where God has confronted me with truth that I knew I was in the wrong. And in those moments, I can say it's not always easy to go home and look your wife and your children in the eyes and say, forgive me, I have done something wrong. I have built an altar, a pattern that's not godly. But God always gives grace for us to change it together. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect husband. But we have made a commitment as a family that we will build an altar that looks like God and break down everything that steals from us the beauty of togetherness and the beauty of times with God. This morning, I called 12 men from the audience to bring some stones and build an altar here with me. Every man in this building had an opportunity to respond. And I'm not saying, well, you didn't respond, shame on you, because there's only 12 stones and a couple of hundred men. But that's how it works in our lives. As God gives this invitation, I've got to make a decision. Will I respond or will I not? Will I pick up that stone and put it on my shoulder and carry it to a place where I can build an altar? Will I go home tonight and say, my baby, I want you to forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. I want to change some things. I want to set some things in place. Let's do it together. Look your children in the eyes and say, babies, forgive me for the things that I've done, said, allowed, even in your lives. We're changing some things together as a family. And God will give you the grace to do it. And if we can become people that build an altar for God, there's nothing that will stop us. Because we will become people that truly live like living sacrifices. That's what Jesus said. Become a living sacrifice. Take up your cross, follow me. Paul writes, Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives through me. Why? Because I've placed myself on an altar. I've sacrificed myself to Him. I've given my life away. The life that I now live in this body, I live through Him, for Him, and by Him. That's the life that God wants us to live. There's people here, you've got the time to make right with your children. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can be a grandpa. Your children can be long out the house, but you can still phone them, call them, go see them tonight and say, I want you to forgive me for altars that I have allowed in this family. But in this night, I choose to break them down so that we can build godly ones together. Come on. We have the power to do that. I'm closing. We're going to pray. I asked the question, how do we recognize altars? Battens. Battens. Whether it's delay, sickness, poverty, it's a pattern. A time thing that happens over and over again. Same thing with your TV or your phone. It's a pattern. Every morning when you wake up, every night before you go to bed, it's a pattern. That's how we see altars. So here's the second question. And I close with this question. How do we destroy them? How do you break down an altar? That was my question to the Lord. Because I've been in church long enough to have some sort of an idea how to break down an altar. But I said, Lord, speak to me about the power that you've given us to break down ungodly strongholds in our lives. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, the power of priesthood. And to be honest with you, at first I was like, and English would be, Lord, the power of priesthood. And the Lord reminded me every single time where the Israelites went up against their enemies, who would walk in front? The priest. When they went against Jericho, fortified city, the very first battle that they had in the promised land, the priest walked in front. The power of priesthood. The power of priesthood. And I want you to see two elements of priesthood here. Number one, the priesthood that's found in a local assembly, in a church, carries great power. in the educational world, the one that carries the power of change is the teacher. Am I right? In the medical fraternal, the one that carries the power for change is the doctor. Am I right? And when it comes to a spiritual house, the one that carries the power to change is the fivefold ministry. There's a grace that God has placed upon the fivefold ministry that enables people to break down stuff in their lives. There's a power that comes by leaning into the priesthood that God has established that enables you to understand, more than anything else, to understand your position, number two, as the priest of your own house. Please catch what I'm saying. I'm not saying that for you to break something down, everybody's got to line up and have the pastor pray for them. No, it's my responsibility as a modern day priest to equip you with a knowledge tonight that you will understand that God calls you a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, he says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are a priest unto God. Fathers, mothers, whether you're single, married, you are the priest of your own house. You carry the power to walk in front, and God has given you as a priest the power to break down altars. And that happens as we understand the role and the responsibility of a priest. And it's not difficult. We've made it complicated. The priest was the one that made a sacrifice unto God yearly, annually, for the sins of the people. But we have in heaven a high priest called Jesus that intercedes for us, that has made an eternal sacrifice. That's why the altar still speaks, because the blood of the Lamb is on that altar. His blood has established an altar that we can lean into as modern day priests. And if we understand that we have been given the power to be priests unto our own families, you can break any altar in your life. Whether you have a family or not, you might be 16 years old, 18 years old, but you can say, God, in this night, irrespective of what my parents have done, allowed, what they have worshipped or haven't worshipped, I make a decision tonight to say, I, me, and my future house, we will serve the Lord. I will be somebody that lives for Him and Him alone. That's the power that you carry. That you yourself have become a priest unto your God. Come on. The power that you carry as a believer, if we only understood the power that we have, we will live our lives so much different. The power that you carry. And in this night, you can establish an altar, a place of exchange, a place of sacrifice, a place of remembrance where you will forever look back on and say, the 15th of May was a day where I did business with God. I broke down every ungodly altar in my life and I erected a pattern of godliness in my life that I will forever walk in till the rest, for the rest of my life, until the day I die. Come on. Have I got some priests in the house this evening? Anybody online that's saying, that's me, Pastor Eric? A priest unto my God. Before we pray, I want to say what I said earlier. There's some of you that need to go make a visit to people in your own family in this week. Not only do you see the destructive patterns in your own life, you can see it in the lives of others. The gospel is still good news if we are able to share it with others. And I want to encourage every single one of you, every person online, go and minister truth to people that's in bondage. People that live under the destruction, the curse, the heaviness, the patterns of ungodly altars in their lives. If you're in this place, share this message. If you're online, share this. Tag somebody, send it in a WhatsApp to them. Say, hey, but I know you don't like our church, or maybe you don't like church at all, but I think you've got to listen to this. Maybe there's some patterns in your life that's because of a spiritual reason, and not something that you can try and fight in the natural. So can we do some business in the spirit tonight? Yeah. Worship team, thank you. I want us to pray for families. I want us to pray for families. I want us to pray for people tonight. If you're saying, Eric, there's some stuff in my life, ungodly altars that I've recognized. If you've broken these things down in your life, bless you. But if you haven't, I want to ask you to come to the front. I want to ask all our pastors to assist me. We want to pray for you tonight. James chapter number 5 says, if there's a sickness that you carry, and it's not just related to sickness, come to the elders, let them anoint you with oil, and you will be healed. There's power in priesthood. And we as priests want to agree with you tonight as the priest of your own house. And let's break down every single demonic altar, ungodly altar that's been erected in your life. So won't you come, if that's you? We're going to pray into one or two things tonight, but if that's you, if you say, Eric, there's some stuff in my life that I want to deal with tonight, they're not going to repeat itself in my family, come to the front, won't you? Come and join us. Pastors, won't you join us as well? Thank you.